You were listening to The Peaceful Planet synthesized from spirit through the mediumship of Robert Murray. Listen in to The Peaceful Planet every Saturday at 12 noon Central to music from the angelic realms, including inspired songs from John Lennon, George Harrison, and Michael and the Band. This is show host Marcia McMahon inviting you to join us as we share messages from the Ascended Masters and the Archangels as we bring you into a higher vibration of love and peace for the planet. Hear my weekly interviews with cutting-edge world teachers and musical talent.
Do you like music, angels, and channeling? Are you spiritual, a psychic, or a healer? We are one on the Peaceful Planet show at www.bbsradio.com every Saturday at 12 noon Central Time.
Welcome everyone today on this fine Saturday to the Peaceful Planet, and we are so delighted to have a very special guest with us today. Her name is Carol Fitzpatrick, and she is also a channel for the Elohim and the Higher Ascended Masters, and we're just really super pleased to have her on. But before we get to the interview with Carol, we are going to do some special messages for you today. As many of you probably know, our music that is being produced for the show is being synthesized as channeled by Bob Murray, and we are featuring a lot of the tunes that John Lennon and George Harrison are producing from the other side. So if you're a Beatles fan, you got to hear this today. It's just going to be really cool. Now, I don't know how many of you heard the news about this, but there is a NASA project going on right now, and what they are doing is they took the song From Beyond the Universe, which was written by John Lennon and Paul McCartney originally, and they set up a very high antenna somewhere in Spain and or satellite or something, and they are broadcasting this tune all the way out to the star called Polaris, which is our North Star. And it said that it would take 421 light years for the song to reach Polaris. But, you know, hearing this yesterday, I was really impressed because, of course, I'm a great admirer of John Lennon, and I also channel his lyrics as well as feature the music that's being produced by Bob Murray. And I want to give you Bob's site real quickly because we always give our credits to our creative talent that we utilize on the show. So his website is www.thestarsstillshine.com, where you can hear more of the great tunes that are being produced for from the other side for a variety of purposes, and Bob's a wonderful channel. So anyway, I have a couple channelings I need to share with you regarding this, because John contacted me just last night about the project, and he has some very interesting words, so I thought you would all enjoy hearing this. And I'm currently writing all of the lyrics to a lot of the songs that are being produced as well, so we're going to also read a set of short lyrics. So thank you, Carol, for being patient with us as we proceed with these various creative things we're doing on the show, too.
Not a problem at all. My delight.
Yes, it's wonderful to have you. Hey, John, been thinking of you with all these the news and press about the song Beyond the Universe being projected to the star system called Polaris. John, oh yeah, it's a really big deal for NASA. Too bad they won't talk about the work they're all doing with extraterrestrial life on other planets in our solar system. I am pleased that not only have I and Paul gone global, but beyond the universe. Those were my words, Marcia, my dear. I would ask your listeners and guests to hear the great tunes Bob Murray is doing through your work and to play some of the music today. Remarkable Nebulae would be a great one to feature, and be sure to read your lyrics. Of course, the other version of it is called Remarkable Diana. We, the Half-Beats, George and John, are pleased to see what is being done to save the planet for unity, consciousness, and peace. We ask all to give peace a chance and to give our great music from the other side the chance it deserves so that people everywhere can turn on to peace, as they did when I was on the Earth plane. This is John Lennon here saying hello to all our fans out there beyond the universe. Love ya, ciao, John. So that was quite a fun message. And We are going to listen to a special song right now as we start up this show, and stay with us because we have a wonderful guest, Carol Fitzpatrick, and I'd like you right now, if you would, before we play the song, to go to her website at www.carolynfitzpatrick.com, and check out her website while we listen to a tune called Remarkable Nebulae. And then when we get back, we're going to read some of the lyrics, and then we're going to talk to Carol about her channeling and her messages. You were listening to Remarkable Nebulae, and that was written by Bob Murray, and I'm just going to briefly read you the lyrics while we have that tune in our mind. Again, relating to the the channeling that I just did with John Lennon about Beyond the Universe, and this is what he wrote 2 years back about the stars. It's titled Remarkable Nebulae. Remarkable in every way perfect, the nebulae are shining beyond the sun. Beyond the sun and stars, a nebulae shining deep within the center of the cosmos, they are shining away, creating life, and there lives within a universe of time, far away from us, yet close enough to see that there is more, so much more than we could ever dream possible. Imagine that. We see something a half billion years ago, shining in the star clusters at night. Stardust shining out and singing for me and for you. A way of looking up and seeing the stars shining away in time, distant time and places within our system and beyond. Remarkable in every way perfect, that is how they shine forevermore. So, I just thought the lyrics to that were just incredibly awesome and certainly nothing that I could make up. Really sounds a lot like John Lennon and a lot of his older Beatles tunes. So, anyway, without further ado, I thank you, Carolyn, for your patience with me and in reading these. I like to feature my work at the start of our show and just set the mood. I'm going to read your bio, if that's okay, Carolyn, and then we'll get to a lot of your work and messages and so on. Carolyn Fitzpatrick has been immersed in fostering new paradigm leadership for the past 25 years. Today, she serves as a teacher and mentor to leaders who are working to bring about radical change to the face of our human family. Her focus is on global stabilization of regions that undergo radical change, which result in destabilization of entire populations. Her passion is to share insights and strategies for adjusting to upcoming changes and to create a feeling of oneness consciousness among all people. The precursor for her work began in 1988 when she began unraveling the mysteries of transformation that took her deep into the mystical realms of the divine. Fitzpatrick uses her spiritual gifts for healing while sharing with others how to bring more joy into their lives. She does so by speaking to the soul, having a human experience. So, Carolyn, very warm welcome to you and your wonderful work on Peaceful Planet. It's great to have you on today with us.
Well, thank you very much, Marcia. I really appreciate the invitation.
Well, I saw your work somewhere. I surf all over and read a lot of channelings, and I noticed how incredible your work was, and I just had to invite you to come on the show, and we're so honored to have you and to feature your work.
Well, thank you very much.
So we were talking before while we were listening to John's music. We were talking about how when you first made your contact with the guides and ascended masters and angels that you were mistaken for having an Irish kind of accent.
Right. When I first opened, I was first transfigured by spirit in 1988 and went through a long period of time where I was very deeply immersed in the energy of what was really coming into my body.
Wow.
But I hid it away because I was living sort of like a double life, and I didn't really understand what was what the purpose of it was. But when I publicly began to open, and after I wrote my first book in 2004, the voice that came through was just had a like an Irish brogue to it, and of course, depending upon what form of consciousness was coming through me, the voice would change, and depending upon who I was talking with, but primarily what I would be told by people who I would be working with, or whether it be in a group speaking or whatever, that there seemed to be two, people would make comment that it was either like an Irish brogue, or it was like an old Indian woman with an English accent, and some people who were clairvoyant, at times they would see this little old bent woman bent over with a white sari on and her hair pulled back, transfiguring me. And at other times, I've had people tell me that they would see light beings all around me, and when I would be channeling, especially like for a group, that all my chakras would turn white, and they would see all these sort of sparkly lights around my throat and my head and so forth. And, of course, I've always interpreted those and seen those as the Elohim.
Yeah.
That are just here absolutely to help us to bring so much joy into our lives and to help us manifest our heart's desire.
Well, exactly. And I work with the Elohim as well, and as well the a group that calls themselves the Heavenly Host, who I believe are somehow related to them. And, you know, then I channel Ra and others. So, yeah, it is true, though, when you begin speaking to a group, that your chakras will visibly change as the group soul that's working with you will come down. But I'm fascinated also with the Irish accent, because you've got that wonderful Irish last name, and
yes.
I'm also Irish. And, you know, I think, Carolyn, we're related somewhere back there, because I did some research years ago on Ireland, and, you know, this is kind of an aside because we're all one anyway. But,
absolutely.
You know, it is a wonderful last name, and it goes back in the McMahon family tree somewhere. I met some relatives like 40 years ago or something. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So here
yeah.
we could be distant cousins and not even know about it.
Well, you know, there's a lot of names like ours out there, shall we say, you know?
Oh, sure.
Especially in America here. So anyway, when you were doing this channeling work and you opened up, how long did it take before you got to a point where you could begin doing this publicly? I mean, I'm sure you went through stages, because I know I did with my channeling with Diana and others, and still I feel, at least where I'm at here in central Illinois, there is a lot of misunderstanding of this work that we do.
Well, when I first opened up, it was in early 2004, as in front of people that I didn't know. I certainly had been allowing the consciousness and the energy coming into me earlier than that. I remember when I left my job from Washington in 2000, I started a nonprofit, and with that we did weekly meditations, and much of the speaking and the energy that I was connecting with, they at first called themselves the White Brotherhood and described themselves as my energetic teachers to prepare me for the world service work that I was going to be doing. And again, at the time, I had no idea what they were talking about. My background is in community building and in publishing. And so again, as I went through that period, I spent about 3 years outside my body from about 2000 to 2003. I was seeing more energy forms, and I was really communing more with the light beings than I was with the people in my life. And of course, I got
that.
Pardon me?
I can relate to that.
Yeah, and I really got that, you know, retroactive deja vu kind of feeling. I realized the symptoms that I was having, because now I help a lot of people move through the same process. But at the time, I just was just in bliss all the time, and I didn't have any sense of, I certainly have always been a strong achiever in a worldly sense, but during that time I couldn't keep my focus on anything worldly really as much as I tried.
Mm-hmm.
Even so, it took me a while to really refocus my effort. And what I realized is I had been resisting my path. I was still trying to get back into what I called my life. And yet I didn't realize it at that time, that the more I fought against it, the harder I was making it for myself, and the sort of the more, how do you say, foggy I would get. But once I shifted, and once I began to say, all right, I know what the inner guidance is telling me. I can't seem to get going on the rest of my life anyway, so I'm just going to have to surrender to this. And what I did is I took about 6 to 8 months, and I immersed myself in the writing of the book, quote-unquote, the book that I was to be writing. And during that time, I was very much in that very high state of consciousness. I love to be in that high state of consciousness. And yet at the same time, I would say to the guides, I'm all right with doing this work now. You've got me, but I'm just I don't want to be an unconscious channel. I don't want to be a trans channel where I go to sleep and then I wake up and whatever's been said is said. I want to be an active participant in my life. This is my life. I'm here to learn, so I need to be participating.
Yeah, so I'm with you on that. I don't do trans channeling either very much,
yeah,
or at
so
all.
It took me a while to get sort of that, and I had wonderful help around me, another author, and who would say to me, you know, just take your time, find your voice, find where you are in all of this to set the energy so that, you know, you can really find a sort of a groove of consciousness that feels comfortable for you. And so I did, and so what developed was this sort of back and forth dialogue where I would allow the consciousness, because I love the consciousness to come through me. That feels so good, and that's the higher consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to where I would love the understanding of it. So in other words, there would be more of a speaking to me about and my ability to ask questions and receive answers.
You know,
and
that's
so that became kind of like the process I was in for the writing of the book. And then, of course, after the book came out and I started making contact with bookstore owners, a wonderful bookstore owner, Jane Hayden, down in Richmond, invited me to come and do a presentation. And I was thinking I would just do like a book signing. And she said, well, would you like to speak? Would you like to talk about your book? And I'm thinking, well, say yes to everything and tell you no otherwise. And so I said, well, all right. And then she called me back and she said, and would you like to do private sessions? And I said, I don't even know what a private session is. I can't control this, what's happening with me. But, you know, sure, I'll give it a shot. And the very first time that I went there, it was this big booming voice just came crashing through me. It was very, very sort of exciting. I came in and there was a standing room only crowd. It's almost as if the people knew that I was coming, and I did the presentation. I have no idea what I said, but I knew that I was just in this very, very, very deep, deep state of consciousness, and it was very joyful. I certainly recognized the Elohim being there front and center,
mm-hmm.
and then the process of doing private sessions there for a while, I just the people would tell me they would hear my booming voice all the way to the back of the front of the store, I should say. And it took me a while, probably close to a year, to start to regulate the energy that was coming through me, because it was just so intense. And it's really been a process ever since, to the point where by 2006 I started to say, I'm really not going to live very long if I don't get it to where I know how to monitor the energy, because it was really starting to actually break my body down.
Oh, see, I don't feel that with my work, because I feel that I'm just working with a portion of the energy that's possible.
Well, with me, the actual full power and force of the energy was actually coming through my body. And I was experiencing, again, like spontaneous healings when people would come around me, and I would be guided to just barely put my hands over their energy centers or their chakras, and I could see what was happening energetically, and they would have spontaneous healings. And if I were working with someone over the phone, it'd be the same thing. The guides would take me through a process, but it would be the embodiment of the energy working through me. But again, my body really was not energetically clear enough, at least at that time, to really handle that level of energetic power, I should say, coming through me. So I started to say to the guides, I absolutely want to continue to do this work, but you're going to have to start talking to me. And then I would start to say, all right, well, only that which is in my highest expression with ease and grace is allowed to come through me. And of course, I also decided that working with individuals, I began to become very, very clear that my path of service was not to work so much one-on-one with people. And I was told there are many, many other people that are to be doing that, but my predilection for what I've come here to do is global in nature. And I was to start focusing on the energy patterns of the earth and plane. And early on, they showed me all the different patterns and the ley lines of the earth and how the earth was shifting and how she was preparing to shift and how humanity and the light workers who were here, how they were, we were all guided to be in a certain place at a certain time to shift the energy. And that part of my work, my mission really, is to help light workers understand really why we're here and how it's so important to let go of our things like need to be needed or our feelings of not being good enough, and to start to really go with the flow of your heart, because our heart, which as we know is so connected to our soul having the human experience. So much of my work is I connect with those individuals who really are wishing to better understand the soul having the human experience. So back to the voice and the nature of the consciousness coming through me, I began to understand. And, of course, the guides have told me all along that when I get to the point where I'm actually doing my world service work, I'll be speaking in my own voice, but the consciousness of them and the collective consciousness of them and me, for instance, will become merged. It'll still be the consciousness coming through my body, but I'll be able to speak in such a way that I'll be able to speak to Middle America, for instance, and it will not be perceptible that I'm actually channeling the information. But I will certainly explain where this information comes from, but I'll be speaking in such a way that it's not in a different voice, it's not in a tonal quality that is unusual, for instance, or difficult for someone to understand. And so the nature of the world service work, I was guided recently, in fact, I'm just moving through the final manuscript with the publisher, is written for the light worker, is written for the new paradigm leaders who are very aware of who they are, but perhaps they don't have the bigger picture. So this book is designed to give them the bigger global picture. And
is this also, this work is also channeled, but you're not saying it's channeled? Is that
well,
how I mean?
Well, I am very clearly saying that it is channeled, and I explain very clearly that everything that I do is channeled. That every bit of information that I receive, it's not from book learning, it's not from doing research, it's not from studying someone else's work, it's coming from what I call direct knowing. Either direct knowing because I've been guided and I've been shown how to traverse the grid and how to go to that place on the grid that provides me that information, or how to go into other galaxies of light that are not from the Milky Way, going into those other star systems, back home to our birth origin, to garner the forces and to gain the knowledge that is meant for us here now, or perhaps getting ready to be given to us at a later date.
Mm-hmm.
And
that sounds
so
wonderful.
But I explain that, and so this second book that I've written, it's both allowing the guides to speak with the reader directly, and then it's exactly the same process that I followed in the first book, which is stepping back and away and then talking from my own personal experience and giving examples of people who are living out the teachings that the guides have shared with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
and what's the name on the second book, Carolyn?
It's called A Call to Remember, and the tagline is, or the subtitle is, A Sacred Call to Wake Up and Reclaim Your Power. And so it's, like I said, the second book is written for, it's the spiritual activism piece for doing our world service work. And it's showing people, telling people how to do that, what the dynamic of it is, and showing them, basically laying it all out within the three overarching probabilities that humanity is playing out. And clearly talking about what those probabilities are, what we're here to do, how it's going to work, and the portals of light that are opening up to us now to provide us the energetic support that we need to do what we've come here to do, and in the, all the different sectors of society, primarily the guides are talking about the economic sector, the economic condition, the social, the governmental, healthcare, and they have a special section that they talk about the star children that are here, and then they go into full detail about the roles that we're here to play and how we can identify ourselves about what role we are. And so it gives all of us clarity about how best to make choice and how, and it brings sense. The feeling that I got when I was sort of reading back through it, it puts all the pieces of the puzzle into place and gives us that total roadmap that we need, you know, for navigating through the tremendous changes that we're in the middle of, and actually we're sort of on the very outer edges of the chaos, you know, because they were talking about from about June, July of 2007, we went up through this sort of, up a precipice, so to speak, and in early December it cut off, and we received a tremendous amount of grace. Tremendous amount of light started coming into the planet, and that was the beginning of one of these star gateways opening up. But with any light coming into the planet, as we know, if you're holding distortion in your body, you're going to feel chaos. And so what they're saying is the first wave of chaos that's coming is the downfall of our financial markets.
Yeah, and you know what, Carol? I have the same thing from the Heavenly House. This is just one thing that they said to me. They said tumult in markets will increase. Governments will give way to more gentle leaders as this last cabal attempts to hold power.
Yeah.
It's amazing we are getting the same kinds of things. Would you like to, read portions of your message and then highlight, and we can, you know, dialogue a little bit with you after, let's say, each paragraph or so? Would that work, or would you like to read it?
Yeah, I can do that, or I can just open up and hear what they have to tell us in present moment.
Oh, that'd be beautiful. All right, let's just hear what the guides are saying then about these changes coming.
Sure, and then we can go back through that if you wish.
Well, I tend to look at everything written because my channeling goes through written words rather than voice, so it's a little different. But you know, we can. I don't want to interrupt them, you know, if they're going to just go ahead, that's fine, and then we'll tune to spirit right now and ask our listeners to open their hearts and minds to Carolyn's work with the Elohim and other masters, and that she's going to be bringing through some vital information that you would want to avail yourself of. So please, we invite you here.
Very good, and Alan, I'll certainly couple that intention that you've just made for whatever this message is for the listeners out there, that this is for them, specifically for those individuals that are tuning in and listening to this message in present moment. They're saying that as we recognize and as we feel and as we allow the very truth of who we are to come forward by allowing our hearts to open ever so widely, they're saying that as we recognize this feeling inside of us, this feeling of love and joyousness, that is where we shall be with you. They're saying that as we recognize this feeling inside of us, that all of Earth plane consciousness will begin to shift, will begin to move, will begin to create a very different reality creation than what is here in present moment. They're saying the Earth plane in present moment is shifting, is changing. The very chaotic forces of hatred and violence will continue for a while, but we're not to be concerned. We're not to be focused on that. They're saying we're to rise above, we're to create in a very different fashion. And by choosing joy, by choosing the feeling of love and joyousness in our hearts, we will be shifting the global consciousness because we will be choosing a different river, a different stream. And they're saying with all rivers or streams, it all comes into the same ocean eventually. And they're saying, but it is already one. It's just the separation, the feeling of separation when one holds hard-heartedness to themselves is what is governing this current earth and plane. And yet it can be different. There are growing numbers of you, they're saying, that are wishing it to be quite different. And you are indeed to take your power back as a light being having a human experience. And as you do, and as you create within the moment of your earthly expression, you will find that as you are moving forward in quite a different way, that the feeling of love and joyousness will be guided by the angels and the guides here, that we shall come into an adjoining with you. And from that there shall be an entrainment, a vibrational match between the two of us, and then we shall indeed be lifting all of humanity. They're saying that shall be the time of the quickening, but first there must be a rapture. And the rapture, they're saying, is coming in the fall of 2008, October-November time frame, they're saying, is when the collective consciousness of the beings of light who are here are ready to come and to merge their soul with a higher echelon of light beings who are here to help humanity. And they're saying with that, that will cause a tremendous shifting or a quickening of light by the year of 2012. They're saying it will take some time, but we are nearing the point of the quickening as we speak. And so they're saying this is a final merging of trusting the soul having the human experience. And they're saying that as we do and as we create in this manner, that we'll also begin to create in a way that will bring about the change or the shift in consciousness. And with the shift in consciousness, they're saying it doesn't have to be so dramatic, you know. It doesn't have to be so harsh. It can be gentle. It can be kind. It can be compassionate. The feeling of harshness comes with our human nature when we think, when we believe that we have no power, but we do. We have tremendous power because we have the tremendous capacity to love the self and to love one another without condition. It's most important that as you remember, they're saying, as you remember the truth of who you are and to take action from that place of beingness, that is what will cause the earth plane to shift. That is what will help your society, your structures to regenerate, to rebuild, to bring in the new, to open the heart, to accept new ideas and new concepts about reality. And we'll begin to unite the race of nations that are here already, the many star nations who are here in physical form, who are here to help humanity, are also in need of waking up as well. Many of them have become embroiled or asleep and are ignoring the signs of change. And yet it is time to change. It is time to open the heart and to know truly that all is quite well.
Wow.
And that is the Elohim.
They're yes, so I know. Beautiful. I recognize them well. And, of course, we all channel a little differently, and I write mine down, and then I read it later. And my, you know, connection isn't just as powerful and forceful as yours is. I see what you mean about the booming voice and everything. But, you know, I commend you for your tenaciousness and your stick-to-itiveness in terms of professionally bringing this forward, because I myself have had a hard time going forward in public places with a lot of my work. I don't even bring in the higher level guides when I'm doing my work. Usually I'm talking on my book with Princess Diana, which is all about how to, again, it's very related to your work in a way, because it's all about helping these geographic areas that are war-torn. In her particular work, it's all a continuation of her humanitarian endeavor, focused on diplomatic solutions for the Middle East. So it's really amazing, and we all have, you know, our part to do with our light work, and to help. I think another focus of our light work is to help other people who are potential light workers to awaken to their full responsibility that they came and agreed to do when they were born in at this time, you know. But I loved what the guides were saying about the beginning of the rapture starting starting in the fall of 2008.
Yes.
That feels right to me. And the other thing about, you know, the great shift in 2012, did they say anything about the earth transmuting or transitioning to only spirit at that point, or anything about the earth changes, or do you just tend to get the unity consciousness?
No, I've received a lot of detail about that and about different regions. And I know as I'm going to start to tour the country and talk with people about the book, I'm going to be, the guides have told me that I'm going to be speaking specifically to the people in the room about their regions and about what is coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the book itself has the overarching probabilities and talks about it from a global viewpoint. It does go into some regions and about the overarching need to clear out, finish clearing out oppression from the earth and plane. They're saying that we've been working on oppression from about 1924 to 1957 is what we're currently working on as what they call a race of nations.
Mm-hmm.
But they're saying that the earth herself is obviously we're a body of mass moving through time and space. And so they're saying this portal of light, what they call a stargate, is getting ready to open, and that's actually what 2012 to early 2013 is all about. It literally is the Earth is physically going to be at the point at which there is a stargate opening, and I've seen it in terms of a tunnel of light. It's much the same way that souls start to see a tunnel of light as they go out of body, and they start looking at this and saying, oh, and they can feel it too, and they're drawn toward, and then they're drawn toward going toward the light. Well, the earth herself is going to be drawn into this tunnel, and they're saying that the earth is going to take a period of, depending upon what probability we're in by that time, is anywhere from 12 to 25 years to move through this tunnel. And as we move through it, the land masses are going to be shifting fairly dramatically. And as we're going through it, beginning of it, it's going to feel like a pulling sensation on us energetically.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way the guides describe it is humanity really cannot separate herself out from the earth. We are very much a part of the earth. And so much of the work that I do, the energetic healing work I do with people, is to help them to understand and to listen to the heartbeat of the earth and to get very clear about the role of Mother Nature and to become much more in the body and attuned to the body. But during that time, they're saying there's going to be starting early, they're telling me to give you particular information here. Starting in early 2009, we're going to start to see the land masses shift and change in a way that we haven't before. A lot of the earlier prophecy that came about doom and gloom was really about humanity creating a Holocaust. They're saying, but the Holocaust from earlier times had been predicting the time starting in early to mid-2009, when the tectonic plates were going to start to shift in earnest. We're going to see a lot of the land masses shift, not because of global warming, but because of the rotational force of the earth is going to shift. They're saying it's already shifted about between 1 and 2 degrees vacillating, but it's going to shift into another 3 to 5 degrees, which is changing the force of nature, the pattern, the weather patterns of nature. And and when that happens, we are going to see the waters rise because and the weather patterns shift. They're saying the cold versus hot zones of the earth, they're already starting to shift. They're already starting to move, but again, they've been very clear with me through the telesessions that I do is it's not because of quote-unquote global warming as much as it is about the actual rotational angle of the earth is actually shifting. It's changing. It's the axis, rotational axis has shifted. And we'll continue to do that even more.
I do have similar information to what you're saying, too, and I confirm that the global warming is not a hoax. It is a serious issue that we should address.
Yes.
But there's the other aspect, which is the solar system and the magnetics, and that's
yes.
what I think you're referring to. I know Archangel Michael has given me information about instructing people to open their own channels and hear the rumblings under the crust of Mother Earth. So
yes.
this is very, very good work you're doing, very corollary. And so they're talking about the shifting of the continents, actually, that there's going to be some land mass shifting around in 2009.
Yes.
Oh,
yes, and the...
Yeah.
In the workshops that I do, and I take people through just a basic meditation, and I ask them to go to whatever I'm guided to, whether it be 2014, 2024, 27, 32. Well, it's been, to my surprise, actually, those individuals that are at the year of 2032, they're reporting that there are very, very few people around them. They're 100% of them reported either being in a high mountain, what would consider to be a high mountain area, or they are looking out over water. It's very solitude. They're in very, very simple housing like grass huts. Some report being in very tropical surroundings, but again, water is everywhere.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And again, it's very, very simple. And the feeling nature of their lives is oneness consciousness and a very, very deep appreciation for humanity. And they also have very clear visions of other beings of light, non-physical beings. They're helping them and being very much a part of their lives. And so we know from those visions that people open up to is that the Earth is going to be shifting in a very, very short, relatively short period of time, and we ourselves are going to be placed in a very different positioning. I've also been shown that by the year of 2024, there's only going to be about 50% of the Earth's population left on the planet.
Yeah.
And they've shown me what happens in that is incremental shifts in consciousness, many different transitions. They're saying, but primarily, it's going to the attrition rate is going to happen through malnutrition, through disease, from people, again, vibrationally not willing or wanting or understanding what the shift in consciousness is going to be. And they're saying once we get even halfway through that tunnel of light, as we're headed toward a completely different sector of the galaxy, that we are going to see the sun on our horizon for up to 20 to 22 days at a time, followed by the moon. In other words, the way that we even orient ourselves to our galaxy is going to be changing very radically. And they're saying that this has happened seven times in our human history. Some of it's been documented and some of it has not been documented, but primarily it's been when the species, the human species, has been repatterned, which is they're saying this is what we're doing in present moment. We are attempting to repattern the human species and do more of a merging of the lower human consciousness with the higher consciousness of the light being who is in the physical. And they're saying, and this is going to take some time, but the star children that are being born into the planet at present time represent the actual future history of humanity just a few short years from now. And again, another two decades, 20 to 25 years from now, is not very long when you think in terms that we're on the very cutting edge of really making that exponential shift in consciousness. And
mm-hmm.
some of us are going to do it in the body. Some of us are going to leave the body and help from the other side. And some of us are going to, go by the way of going to our version of heaven on earth, which I've seen when you first talked about a spiritual earth. There's a holographic earth that has been created for those souls who feel that there needs to be a heaven on earth or have a belief in heaven and hell. And that's another learning ground for those souls that are not quite ready to make this exponential shift.
I see. Well, I was told that I would be staying on this plane to do the work I'm supposed to do, too. So apparently, you know, there's kind of like a new ark, a new heaven, a new earth. I think even Jesus talked about that, there being a time, and I do believe we are nearing that time. And
yes,
it is remarkable what you have. And it's similar to what I have. I had some sort of strange messages from the hosts about the sun turning black and, you know, everyone shining their light to home and this kind of thing, which was very cryptic to me, and I could make no sense of it until I had this other lady on my program who had information from the Syrians that said that the sun might totally disappear. You know, there are problems right now. They're watching a lot of these solar flares, and the solar flares are contributing to these magnetics, and some people feel that the sun may go out. I hope that's not the case, because I like the sun, I like the earth,
yeah.
I think I'll stay here, you know, and work with it, because I think really what we're talking about is this raising of consciousness. At the same time we raise up to heaven, we're also uniting our spirits with
yes.
us. And I love that about your work, and I get the same thing from my guide, so it's just so wonderful to have you on the show and highlight your very interesting work. And I take comfort in what you're saying with these dates, because I've been told I've read other channelings that say, you know, 2012, that's it, sorry, no more, you know,
and that's
I
not
find
at
that
all
very
the
hard
quickening
to cope
of
with.
Consciousness. So it's just beyond that time, it's just absolutely exhilarating. That's like the time where everything just really goes into a wonderfully expansive time.
Yeah, and
it's not any kind of demise at all.
That these earth changes are going to be really, really traumatic and really cleansing. And, you know, Katrina was bad, but, you know, I mean, there's just going to be it appears to me that from what you're saying, what I've gotten, that there's going to be a lot more of this. And, you know, we better just, you know, accept it as part of the change that's coming is how I view it.
Right, and what I was told about Hurricane Katrina, the energetics of that actually started happening in 1917 on the west coast of California,
really?
That lower California area.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the weather patterns, what we will begin to understand as a human race, is that we actually have a synergistic relationship, a symbiotic relationship with Mother Nature. We're not separate from Mother Nature. And,
yeah.
In fact, our thought forms and the way that we are and the way that we think and feel actually we've set different creation cycles into motion. And so they were telling me that what Katrina was all about was, again, clearing the inequality of the masses. There was a tremendous layer of, they're using the word anti-Semitism and black versus white and poverty versus wealth.
Right.
And the New Orleans area represented the tremendous separating out in our society.
Yeah.
And that was obliterated, that was shifted, that was cleared, and that was changed. And many of the people that were forced to leave that area, they're saying now they have actually much better lives than they ever had before. And that area actually is not meant to be rebuilt. They're saying
The
rebuilding that is being taken place now, or thought of being taken place now, will not be sustainable, that will be wiped out again, because that's an area that is, they're saying it's meant to be the new delta. That's going to be water, a tremendous body of water in just a few short years, because they're saying in early to mid 2009, we will start to see with the waters rising that people will not be able to live there because it'll be underwater. And so they're saying that we, in our human nature way, we don't understand. When we see land, we think, well, land is land, but land is not, land is land in present moment, but in a few short years, that land is going to be totally underwater, as will much of southern Florida and that whole southern panhandle area be underwater.
Now, I was told the same thing. Your work is so interesting, Carol. We have to kind of end it here because we're at the end of our time.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Marsh. It's been delightful.
It's been delightful to have you. And when you publish your book, would you get in touch with me? I'd like to review it and have you on again. Your prophecy is really interesting and amazing. We want to refer our listeners to your website again at www.carolynfitzpatrick.com. And we want to refer our listeners as well to my website at Diana Speaks to the World. And I want to remind you that my readings with the angels and ascended masters are still on sale if you're interested in signing up for a channeled reading with information from the guides. So, Carolyn, it was really wonderful to have you. Best of luck and best wishes. Let's stay in touch.
Well, thank you very much, Marcia. I really, really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you for your wonderful work. It was really delightful. And we're going to close out with a song titled Appreciated Angels that was inspired by written by Bob Murray, inspired by John Lennon. And we thank you all for listening to The Peaceful Planet, and we ask you to join us again next week.